We are kind of in a series on foundations about what we believe about God and who he is and what we say as a church that we stand firm on. We've been looking at the Trinity. Tim and Saman amazingly led us through God the Father and God the Son, and at the beginning kind of unpacked slightly what the Trinity actually is, who the Trinity actually is. And the Trinity is God. And God is a tri-unity. He's three persons, but one God. Actually, the fullness of God is the fact that he is a unity and he is diverse, and that he is these three persons. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And thank you so much to Saman for unpacking God the Father. It was such a beautiful message. Thank you so much for Tim for unpacking God the Son. And I get the privilege of speaking on the Holy Spirit, amazing part of God's Trinity. Yeah, so I'm going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. We're going to be unpacking it together. And as I said before, I'd love to like spend some time actually just us meeting with God, enabling us to have that time. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, when referenced in the Bible, is the way that the biblical authors would want to speak about God's personal presence. And we see this at the very beginning of the Bible, in the first chapter, as the Spirit was hovering over the waters. If that's not like the Spirit is God's Spirit, like, I don't know what is, because it's at the very beginning of the Bible. And actually this word, the Hebrew word ruach, which is used for saying the Spirit here, is can be used when it describes wind and like a deep breath that you take in. And it's so powerful because actually, you know, the Spirit is God's power, it's his presence. And when we look at, you know, like something like the wind, I think actually the wind can be powerful. A tree was knocked down on Graham Parkway the other day because of the wind pushing. So actually that could suggest like God's powerful personal presence can do mighty things if we're reflecting on it and looking at this idea of wind. We look at breath, and actually breath is power to give life. We all need to breathe to be able to be alive right now. And God's breath, his power, sustains all life. This says that God is an all-powerful presence, that he is his Spirit, and his Spirit comes in powerful ways. And in the Bible, we can refer to the Spirit in many different ways, but the first person that actually God rests his Spirit upon, he isn't just like kind of moving around as his personal presence. He's actually coming to meet people. And the first person that he rests his Spirit upon is Joseph, and known as Joseph the Dreamer. And Joseph would look at these dreams and interpret them to kings and different people. And ultimately, it would be pointing to who God is and what God is saying to the people. And another person, actually the second person that his Spirit is poured upon, is Bezalel, okay? And he is actually an artist. And he was someone who was, the Spirit of God was poured upon him to have a wisdom and skill to design and create beautiful things for the tabernacle, which is where people would come and meet with God, and also the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence dwelt. As the people of Israel carried God's presence around, he designed the kind of the structure of what God's presence was actually in. So how much does that say that God not only wants us to point to him by his Spirit, but actually he wants us to worship him in beautiful ways by his Spirit as well. But we mainly see God's personal presence dwell upon a group of individuals called the prophets. You know, your Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, some of the random things that you read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, we can see that God's Spirit dwelt upon these people. And actually, their purpose was to make God known and to make God's plan known and to warn the people of Israel of the things that were going on and the judgment that was happening, and to point them to actually the Messiah who is to come, Jesus, the Son of God, who is to come. And actually in Joel, when he refers to what God is going to do, and he's going to pour his Spirit out on all people. So that's like the Old Testament. This is all the stuff that we see in the Old Covenant of like God's Spirit and what God was doing and speaking to his people through his Spirit. But then when we get to the New Testament, it feels like we get to this like new thing. Like God gives us fresh eyes to see what his Spirit can do, what he wants to do with us. And so we see Jesus, as Tim beautifully like unpacked last week, the Son of God comes down to earth and lives a perfect life. And on the day of his baptism, And before he started his ministry, we had this amazing picture of the Spirit of God coming like a dove on Jesus and the heavens opening and the Father says, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." This is an amazing picture of the Trinity, like one of the few pictures that we get of actually this triune God coming together and showing us their unity, how they come, how they action things together. And it's so beautiful because we see that actually God's Spirit empowered Jesus to begin this new creation. As Jesus started, like his ministry was set on fire basically through what God was doing after Jesus was baptized. And Jesus was healing people, doing miracles, working wonders. It was actually phenomenal. And God's Spirit was breathing fresh life into the people. Jesus was creating life where there was once death. And ultimately Jesus, taken to the cross, which was his mission to do, then died and rose again, being empowered by the Spirit. And we know this because Romans 8:11 says, "The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you when you confess Jesus as Lord in your life." So what does the person of the Holy Spirit do? He brings life. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers after the resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we're going to unpack that passage in a few moments. Jesus said in John, "I must go that the Spirit must come. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." There was this like transaction that God knew he needed to do. It was like, okay, I'm present now. I'm Jesus. I'm fully human. I'm fully God. But actually, there's something that needs to happen in order for you to receive me on tap. And actually, I need to go back to the Father. I need to ascend. And then the Helper's going to come and he's going to be with you at all times. My Spirit will be with you at all times. And Jesus then comes when we've accepted him as Savior of our life. He comes and lives within us by his Spirit. And I just want to say as a disclaimer, for anyone in the room who, you know, is on a journey of understanding the Trinity and who the Holy Spirit is, the Trinity has always been. Like, the Holy Spirit has always been. Jesus has always been. I used to read the Bible and think, like, God just created characters and Jesus just appeared in Matthew. Like, I was like, okay, God's just created this new character. No. The Trinity has always been since the beginning of time. Actually, the fact that we are relational people is because our God is a relational God. And that the Holy Spirit, as we read in chapter 1 of Genesis, he was hovering over the waters. God has always been since the beginning of time. And once we actually believe this truth that God is Trinity, then we read scripture so differently because we understand that God is speaking and moving in different ways. And as we look at scripture now, I want us to unpack two passages. So hopefully you can read that okay. But a passage from the Old Testament, passage from the New Testament, because I think that's important for us to understand that it's the same Spirit in both Testaments of the Bible. And the first one's from 2 Chronicles 7 verses 1 to 3. And then the second is from Acts 2, 1 to 4. And I want us to compare what God did in both of these passages. So in 2 Chronicles it says, "As soon as Solomon finished his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. And when all the people of Israel saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed down their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, 'For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.'" Now let's just go to Acts 2. You guys can all see it on the board, but I need to turn. The coming of the Holy Spirit. "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." I just want to unpack like the similarities, but also the stark differences between what we read in the Old Testament and New Testament. For starters, in the Old Testament, there was this way of doing things, okay? So the atonement for your sin was that the priest would go in and lay down the sacrifices, and God would see them, and then it would atone for the sin for the people. So that's what Solomon was doing in the temple, okay? And Solomon was on his own. As it says in there, the priests were all outside, and as soon as the glory of the Lord fell, Solomon was like trapped in the glory of the Lord, like he couldn't escape. None of the priests could enter the house because the glory of the Lord was so like intense. And then not just that, but people who were in their houses and on the pavements, like further afield, could see what was happening. It must have felt like an eruption or something like that. But then their only response was that they bow down and they worship. And they said this refrain, they said, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." That's all they could say. They're like, that was like all that they could say in that moment of encounter with the living God. But then we look at Acts, and this is what we're living in right now, this new covenant, the fact that Jesus has come and paved a way for us to have a personal relationship with God. We see, actually, they were all in one room. So Jesus has just said, "I'm going to leave my spirit with you," and they're all worshiping together because they're like, "Okay, God, you're going to do something. You said you're going to leave something with us. Okay, we're ready. We're going to worship. We're going to thank you for what you've done." And as they're gathering together, suddenly the Holy Spirit comes in like a wind. And not just the Holy Spirit came in the room, but rested on every single one of them. And the response in that place was that they didn't say, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." The Holy Spirit gave them new languages to speak. The Holy Spirit did something within them that they would never be able to do without his Spirit. And I just think it's profound that we can look at actually the true living God in the Bible and say, this is who we believe and this is who we want to follow. This is God. And we learn so much from people's encounters with God. It stirs faith. It really reveals his nature to us. And I actually want to invite Leah to come up. She's going to share a story. So if you come up now, Leah. But yeah, yes. So, Leah, could you tell us about what happened with you at New Day, the camp that we go to in the summer?
As Becca said, my name is Leah, and I'm going to tell you about how I encountered the Holy Spirit. So, at New Day, one of the nights we were having worship, and I was praying for a spiritual breakthrough because in recent times I had been struggling with guilt, and I felt as if the weight of my sin was holding me back from God and feeling like I wasn't good enough for him, which I was clearly forgetting that this is the same guy who died for my sins. So it was really inconsiderate of me to be thinking that way when he died and suffered for me. But during the worship, I began to feel the presence of God. And it was really nice just to be able to stand there and just be in his presence, because truly there is no better feeling. And as I continued to worship, I felt inclined to kneel down and continue worshiping God. As I sang the worship, I began to sing out in tongues, and I was like, what's going on? I can't really explain what it felt like or how it happened, but yeah, it happened. And yeah, I had just been struggling with, I felt like Jesus wasn't accepting me for my sins, and it had just driven me further than I had ever before. So I was praying, and I was apologizing for everything I had done, and I started crying out of guilt. And then I continued to pray, and someone came to prophesize over me, describing the exact predicament I was facing in my journey with God. And what they thought that God was trying to say to me, which he quite literally did a few moments later. And when they were speaking to me, it was really weird. It kind of sounded like, you know when you're underwater and there's noise, like it sounded like that. But it was still clear. As I continued to pray, I just suddenly felt like this overwhelming feeling of joy and God's love for me. And the way I was crying before out of guilt and shame, it just turned into tears of joy. And then I was given a vision from God. At first, it was just like a really bright white light. And then like a word started to appear. It was kind of flakes like ashes, but it was red, like the color of the end of a matchstick. And there were just these bits floating around, and then it started to read a word. And then the word forgiven was written out. But during the vision, I wasn't really aware of myself, if that makes sense. I didn't feel like I was present in my body. And then it was almost like I was almost in the vision. Then I opened my eyes and I realized I was on the floor. And then Becca was like, I just heard a thud and realized you had collapsed. So yeah, that's what happened. And afterwards, I felt changed. It was like the weight of my sins that had been holding me back from God was just lifted up. I felt just like so much lighter. And I just felt really loved by God. And it was just calm and peaceful. I wasn't facing the worries that I once felt. And I certainly wasn't feeling good enough for him because, you know, we all are. He literally died for our sins, like individually for every one of us. So there's no way that we are ever not good enough for him and that we're really loved by him.
Amen, amen, amen. Actually, could you just stay up for a second, Leah? I just don't want us to like go back into like theology and like talking about the Holy Spirit. I want us to actually encounter him because he's in this room right now and I believe he wants to speak to us. So can I ask that everyone, if you're able to stand, please, and just to close your eyes. And if you want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, if you need a fresh touch from God, can I ask you to close your eyes and just put your hands out as if you're receiving a present? Because it's a gift, the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to get Leah to pray for us. And then we'll see what happens.
Lord, I pray that as we're all standing here today, that as Becca's preaching about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will just come here and that we'll all be able to encounter him and be with him. And that he will be with you individually and he'll just be here in the room, because when he left the tabernacle, his presence became everywhere. Like, we're no longer restricted to being in his presence. He is everywhere. And the Holy Spirit will move within us today. I just pray that we keep continuing for the Holy Spirit to come, because he will come, like he's here, and we're all going to feel it today. I just pray that he'll move within every one of us individually today, and that everyone will leave this room changed, feeling different as when they walked in, and that it will stay that way. Amen.
Just stay in that place. Don't move away from it. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.